Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Wendy has bad news for you, Eric Zorn.
All right, first of all, stop it. Second of all, we were going to wait till after the segment was over.
We'll tell you later. It's sad news for you.
This is like radio teasing, isn't it? Like, there's actually nothing.
It's not like radio teasing.
You just want people to sit in their cars.
It is radio teasing.
In the driveway waiting for the bad news.
And then
you're going to go, up. Oh, they got to go to the news, and then all of a sudden.
I'm just getting it. I can't stand it. I'm just getting it out of the way.
Go on, tell them.
Bill is a person who likes to keep track of goofy things, like, you know, how many times you said hello over the course of the last 6 years. He keeps track of these things. So he comes in today and he goes, do you realize this is the last Monday Eric is going to be with us until the new year? Because we're on vacation.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
We're off next Monday.
Yeah.
And then the 17th, we start.
We're closed for inventory.
And then it's Christmas and it's New Year's.
We won't see you again. And then next year, like in January, the first show of the year with you won't be until like the 8th or something, because I think New Year's is on a Monday, right?
My goodness.
Well, so, New Year's Eve is Monday, then New Year's Day is Tuesday. We come back to work Wednesday, and so then we see you January 7th.
That's the next time we'll have you on.
Well, that's too bad, because I like to use this show to promote my year-end predictions.
Oh.
Like I try to you know, put forth
a list
of questions that have people, and then I like to review those predictions.
Yes. Oh boy!
So there's this whole thing that I had planned. I had canceled some vacations and stuff. So this is really
this
bad.
This is all horrible.
But I guess, you know, I can email to you and you can direct people to my questionnaire. And then maybe when I come back in January, we can look at what people are predicting and how they did last time. So we'll just do the whole 3 hours.
That's fine. Okay. All right.
Since we're off on Monday, does he want to come in next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday?
I'd be fine with that.
I could be.
Whatever day you want.
Let's work that out.
All right, let's do that.
I am a problem solver. That's what I do.
Figure something out. Problems.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, we'll figure that out. All right.
See, it's not that bad. He made it sound like it was something.
I think it's bad.
I think it's really bad.
You canceled the vacation?
I'm really glad. Oh, yeah, sure, of course. And it was, it was to see see my kids, and that's okay. And
you love your kids.
You know, and, yeah,
you're the greatest father in all the land.
I was. Until I canceled my vacation for a radio gig.
Got to change the song lyrics now.
Now the song's going to be rewritten and
everything. That's sad. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. But let's do that next week. We'll bring you whatever day is good for you.
Okay. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out.
I mean, we're booked all day Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday we got that thing, and then Friday's the Christmas show. But we'll figure something out.
So everyone's really busy. So, but next time I come in, I'm going to read the greatest tweets from December.
Yes.
But what I can do next week is read you the greatest Christmas tweets of all time.
You want to do that?
I do have those.
Right.
That'll be ready
That's
next week,
fine.
Too, because there's some great Christmas tweets.
I bet.
But you want to hear the best tweets from November?
I would love
to. You know, regular listeners know that every week I conduct a reader poll. I find the funniest things on Twitter, and the readers vote on them. And then at the end of the month, I come on Bill and Wendy, and I read I consider to be the ten best.
Yes.
And people are really funny on Twitter, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's really pretty great.
Yep.
Here are the top ten, in my opinion.
In no particular order.
In actually no particular order, yes.
Right.
And I post them online, and I know the Jasmine's going to link off your show page to the actual list that'll be online. That'll have the attributions, because when I attribute them, it throws off my rhythm.
Yes.
Yep, I got you.
Am I prolonging this enough?
Yeah, just enough amount of time.
I mean, you guys are such good teasers. I thought this was pretty good. Anyway, call me a hoarder all you want, but there's over 700 hours of free AOL on these discs. Vegans think they will live longer than us, but they don't realize that they are 100 times more likely to be murdered mid-conversation. And this is one you have to, like, think about.
All right. Thank you for the warning, by the way.
I know. The other ones you don't have to think about. This is what you do.
All right.
I, for one, am a great fan of Roman numeral puns.
I get it.
Get it?
I, for one.
Yes.
Very nice.
Very good, was real. That's clever.
It's not like a laugh out loud one, but it's very clever. And it actually won the tweet of the week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
A lot of Roman listeners, I bet.
A lot of Latin speakers. My mother-in-law likes me so much, she asked if I would take the family photo this year.
That one also involves some thinking.
Some thinking, yes.
Just some.
This may be the longest tweet that's ever made my list here. I often stand naked in front of a full-length mirror, studying myself to better come to terms with my imperfections. It's not an easy thing to do, though, and quite frankly, I feel IKEA security could be a little more supportive. It would be so satisfying if I found out Enya's last name is Face.
Enya Face.
Enya Face. Calm down, everyone. Saudi Arabia just murdered a journalist. It's not like they did anything really evil, like kneeling during a song. My dentist can do it all, from a simple cleaning to identifying my charred remains.
That one's morose and enjoyable at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please fasten your seatbelts. I want to try something. And the last one. I still can't believe that my senior class voted me least likely to let things go.
That's great.
That is good.
Enjoy that.
So those are the top 10 tweets for November.
Love them.
And they're on the ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn if you want to find out who wrote them.
So. We'll take a quick break and then more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. That's coming up in just a little bit.
Don't go breaking my heart, please.
No.
Don't do it.
Eric Zorn is here. Heartbreaker from a long, long time ago. Works over at the Chicago Tribune. Eric, here's a word that's an important word, should. You have some very serious feelings about the word should.
I'm a recent convert to this. Apparently, people say that this is something that you hear, or life coaches will tell you, don't
use the word should.
Don't tell people what they should do. And a friend caught me telling her what she should be doing recently, and she told me.
Can you be specific? What were you telling her?
It was Mary Schmeek, and I was telling her we have this the Songs of Good Cheer contest, and I said I've put these entries here. You should read them and get back to me.
Oh,
and she wrote back a little note saying, basically, I will do things on my own timetable. She didn't quite say don't tell me what I should do, but it was implied in her response. And I started thinking about it. I realized, that was really an annoying way to put that. And I've been annoyed when I hear other people tell me what I should do. And I was trying
to
think.
It's a parental thing.
It sounds parental. And there's a way of saying something, you should listen to me on Bill and Wendy. Instead of saying, every week I have this great conversation with Bill and Wendy, I don't say you should check it out. I just mention that it's there. Right. Why not? Casual suggestion. You can make a suggestion without telling people what they should do. And in bringing this up, I realize that, in talking to other people about it, that there is this real strong sense. It's like a trigger word for some people being told what they should do, because it is, as Wendy says, it's almost like a parental word.
Yeah, it is.
It's one that you should go do your homework now.
Yeah.
It's like, don't tell me what I should do. I'm a grown up.
But it's softer than saying do this. It's just a suggestion of you doing this. It's still problematic, but it's not as bad as just saying do this.
Well, and it hurts more.
What?
Should have. You should have done it this way. That one stinks.
That says you were wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever you did was not the right way to do it.
Well, this puts me in a bit of a professional bind, because what opinion writers do often, all decent people must adhere to my prescriptions for life. These words like ought to and should and must, these are words that opinion writers use all the time, and I'm not going to pull back necessarily from using those if I'm going to be addressing the governor or the mayor or something like that. Because if you offer a gentle suggestion to a public official or to a bureaucrat or a big business, they'll ignore it. But if you're dealing with friends and with your family, to tell someone what they should do is just a bad idea. I'm wondering, you guys have this in your own lives where the things that you've pulled back from, where you realize that it's not necessarily what you want to have happen, but it's how you impart that to somebody. I think it's a really important.
Oh yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not a young man, and yet I'm just really realizing this that I've been probably saying this over the years.
Everybody does, though. It's part of the lexicon. It's just the way it's worded,
I guess. But there is a sense, I think, that you have you want to maintain your own autonomy, right?
Right.
You want to, and so you don't mind suggestions, but the suggestions, it's really, you have to couch your suggestions in a more gentle way.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh,
it's so hard to be a human being now, isn't it?
But it's not like political correctness.
No.
Right? This is just more like, if you want someone.
It's tact.
It's tact. It is tact, yeah. And so there's this sort of this general approach that you can have to people, which is like, rather than telling them what to do, you might you know, mention something like, hey, a lot of people responding to my column today.
Right. You know, just like, saying.
Don't you speak to coworkers and other professionals differently than you do to your family members?
Probably, yeah. But I should probably be more tactful with my family
members. I totally should.
You really should, Wendy.
Because I should. That I'll give myself. Because, I mean, you know, if there's something that I want to, an idea I want to convey here at work, I'll word it, I'll think about it and word it in a way that doesn't offend anyone. But at home, it's just kind of like, why did you do that? You know, we don't put on airs at home, which is kind of good. We're all ourselves. But, you know, maybe we need to respect our family members a little more.
I think that's really true. I think that, one of the things that happens at home is you'll use shorthand. Yeah, you'll just react, and rather than try to think, how can I say this in a way that is the most productive and doesn't get everybody's teeth on edge? You know,
right?
It's like, one other thing. I'm just reminded of this. I used to ask, like, if Johanna's making dinner, I would say, can I help?
Oh yeah,
But what I've changed.
I realized that the best thing to do is to say, how can I help? Right.
Do you watch New Amsterdam by any chance?
I don't. Why am I? Am
was
I
this
channeling?
A plot line?
Yes, this guy who runs the whole hospital, he's the medical director. He always says, "How can I help?
How can I help?" That's a lot. That's a very different question, I think, than "Can I help?" Can I help? Suggest you're kind of hoping they'll say no.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm like, no. You know, when you're at a big Thanksgiving and you offer to help and they say yes, you go, oh, darn it.
Right, you're right. But
so
how can I help?
How can I help? And it just
that means I am going to help. You just point me in the direction.
And it doesn't really allow for the answer of you can't help. I mean, people will say that. She'll say, get out of my kitchen or something like that. But in general, they say, how can I help? I think it really changes. And it's a small thing. And like I say, I mean, you don't say should, but you float an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's these subtle but effective things that can really make things work more smoothly. You know?
So. We only have a couple minutes here, but I'm curious. We lost a former president over the weekend, George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there?
Well, he was... In so many ways, the exemplar of how a public official should behave in terms of, like, policy wise, some things that he did, and I'm not going to say that he was a perfect man by any means, but that the way he dealt with people he disagreed with, the way he was able to befriend Bill Clinton, the way he was able to deal with a lot of the reporters that he dealt with, he had conflict with them, but he also was respectful of them. And there's an excellent piece that Maureen Dowd wrote, if you saw this in the New York Times, where she talked about how that they would actually correspond after he left office.
Oh, really?
And you know, she was very hard on 43, his son, but they were able to continue a correspondence and a conversation respectfully. And that's what's really missing today. And Donald Trump is a symptom of it as much as he is a cause of the incivility that we all see now. And the way that he reacted, he had Dana Carvey, remember the Saturday Night Live comedian who used to mock him?
Yeah.
And he had him over to, I think he slept over at the White House. And this was this is the way this man realized that it was business.
You don't see Trump doing that with Alec Baldwin?
I mean, Trump takes everything personally. Trump hits back
all
the time. I don't think he deals with things well, obviously.
Yeah.
But you look at Bush, who, and like I said, wasn't like aligned with him politically.
Right.
It just seemed to me like he knew how to deal with this kind of inevitable conflict in politics in a way that was civilized and gentlemanly and so on. And you hope that maybe this will restore that. But you look at the tributes that were paid to John McCain and the tributes that are being paid to Bush 41.
Yeah.
And you realize that they talk about the fact that these guys fought hard. They were not weak or wimpy. But they also, at the end of the day, had respect for the people who disagree with them. And I feel like that is now missing.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of hoping that maybe this will begin a renaissance. I know you're looking at me like you're kind of crazy.
I'm not sure that's going to happen.
And I am crazy. It's not going to happen. But you know, you sort of... I don't think that that's necessarily over in American politics. I think that maybe we can come back to that. But we have to keep remembering that, you know, when you're dead and gone, people are going to remember you, and how they're going to remember you, and all the outpouring. So much of the outpouring about him has been about this.
Yes.
It's been about his presentation, his character, the way he dealt with people he disagreed with. And that is something that I'm wondering what the obituaries are going to look like for Donald Trump, because I don't think they're going to be kind about the way he handled other people.
So. I know.
Depends who writes it.
Yep.
Right. Seriously.
If he writes it, then we're all right. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll see you again next week, but not on Monday.
Next month.
All right, we'll figure it out. Thanks, Eric. We'll take a quick break and then close things off. The Wintrust Business Lunch is coming your way next.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.